Blog Talk Radio.
The finest people.
Where is thy salute?
For presenting yourselves on this battlefield.
I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland. And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them.
Oh, the English are too many.
I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Killed men by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his heart. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that? No! We will run!
And we will live. Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your bed, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Podcasting here live, understanding the times in which we live today. Good podcast I hope we have lined up here in store. I have got to make some calls here, two calls. I got two calls here to make, two numbers I have to check out. We're going to be calling the California Prison Industrial Complex System. And I'll lay out the foundation of the show here real quick so that callers know exactly what we're going to be talking about here. It's been reported that the California prisoners, state prisoners, federal prisoners, whatnot, are not allowed to watch Fox News. They have a TV. TVs, inmates have TVs. Okay, they don't have cable TV, but they have the basics. The news stations. And apparently now Fox News has been banned. Any type of conservative news network is banned, and inmates are not allowed to watch these types of views or this type of news. Now, the reason why this is alarming, if the sheeple out there don't understand it, is this is indoctrination at the worst kind. These are inmates that are going to be released back into society, back into what we normalcy, if that's what you want to call it, how we live out here in our naive bubbles. However, their bubble is worse. They live in small, compacted situations that they're forced into live. And there is no rehabilitation whatsoever inside these prisons. And we're going to hear about that probably here tonight also. But the prison industrial complex, we know, is a warehouse system. It's a revolving door system. They have to keep the inmate number. They have to keep the numbers at a certain level, and the revolving door has to keep spinning. So now, one thing I may take flack for, I kind of agree with the corporate government, District of Columbia. They're going to release a lot of inmates from the being held captured. And I believe a lot of them were kidnapped, probably, wrongfully so. A lot of these inmates should be released. They should not be in there because there's no help for these people, men and women, in there. There's no help whatsoever. I can understand that if you took a life, okay, you go inside, yeah. We have to have laws. We have to have some sort of, punishment for crimes against our fellow human beings or man in society. We have to. I get that. But why should a man, because he stole a candy bar 3 times, do life in prison in a concrete box the rest of his life? Why should, because he was 16 years old and had an 18-year-old girlfriend, or vice versa, now is charged with sexual assault or rape and now labeled a sex offender for the rest of their life? Can't get a job nowhere, can't get apartments. What kind of backwards, idiotic system is that? We can't figure that out, and there are many that suffer like this, okay? And these are the people that you have that are trapped. And you have people that where the system failed them, and they were wrongfully convicted. Now, I understand, and that's wrong, yes. Now, no, there's no perfect system out there. There will never be until we get to heaven. Okay, that's going to be the only perfect system we're ever going to see. But here we have somewhat the best system here on Earth, supposedly, in our republic. But we're not really a republic anymore. We don't have to go over that. But this warehouse system, this prison industrial complex has got to be exposed for what it is. Now, this indoctrination, very quickly here, is very important because when these inmates are released, they're going to be indoctrinated to believe and think a certain way. Okay, and we all know the socialist agenda out there now. They want this socialism to expand and destroy the sovereignty of the United States. And this is the New World Order globalist plan and agenda. And it's all done through educational and indoctrinational systematic ways. And I don't have to go over the New World facets of the New World Order. I've discussed it many times on this show. And they are programming people. And plus, you know, it's just that it's wrong. It's morally wrong. And we'll probably get into a lot more reasons why it's wrong. So I have to call these numbers. So what I'm going to do is I have to go to the green room while I call these numbers. Now, I can call them live here, but when I start giving, you know, talking information, I have to mute my mic. So because there's going to be personal information divulged, and we have a lot of bad people that listen to this show that are crank callers and people that like to take advantage of any information they receive. And that's another problem, you know, spoofing caller IDs, whatnot, and stealing people's information. So I'm going to try to keep these gentlemen, their information private as much as they want it to be private when I call. So I may have to play a commercial. I don't know how I'm going to do that. You may hear dead air for about 45 seconds. That's it. So though we got a lot of people on the phone lines, just be patient. I have to protect these inmates. I have to protect them and not allow their information to be out there on the internet while I'm doing this. I want to allow them to put it out there if they so choose. So just bear with me. This is live radio. I didn't want to pre-record this. I wanted to make sure it was live, and that's the best way to do it, I believe. So this way there's no indoctrination on my part. So, okay, I'm going to call this number right now. So I'll probably mute my mic here in about 10 seconds. Okay, let's just see. I got to make sure I make contact first.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, I forgot. Didn't put him in the green room by accident. Oh, I got him. That's my fault, guys. That was my fault. That was a blunder on my fault. Okay. I hit the wrong button. I hung up on him. But we're going to get him back, so just be patient. Very difficult thing here to do, to operate these.
Telephone, I think so.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing? I got disconnected from you there. I apologize for that. I have to put you on another line while I ask for the name of the inmates. I'm calling live from a podcast show. So just give me... Okay, we'll be connecting him live. Okay, he should be connecting here in a minute. I guess they're at recreational period right now. So the gentleman that answered the phone has to search for the inmate. Hopefully I get the right one. But they're all free to speak to me if they want to.
Hello?
Yes, Ray. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, it's Joe Gibson. We are live, understanding the times in which you live today. And we got a whole bunch of people on the call board listening. I put the, when I made the original attempt, I did what I told you. I put him in the, when I, you know, announced for your name, I put you in the green room to only, so that it wasn't recorded live, okay? So
yeah,
nobody
cool.
knows your name except for your first name right now, okay?
That's fine.
All right. So tell me what's going on in there, on inside, behind the walls right now.
Well, we're not allowed to watch Fox News anymore because it differs from the politics of the staff. And so, therefore, it's a threat to them.
And did they give you a reason why? I mean, other than a threat? I mean, well, how was it a threat? Was there any incidents?
Nothing. Actually, what was happening is that the inmates were actually having honest and open discussions about some of the things that are affecting our world today. And they were nice and calm conversations. And this is conversations from both perspectives. Such things as immigration, yes, immigration, voting, and racism, all those things. And it was very peaceful and fruitful conversations.
So basically there was productive conversation where people were actually getting along instead of being at odds with each other over the border crisis. And they were actually, having adult conversations, not stabbing each other or fighting each other over it like they do on the outside world, probably, you know, which they're doing, bringing drugs over and smuggling children over and whatnot. But the inmates together were just, can you give me, like, maybe an example of one of those conversations, maybe?
Well, one of the conversations happened to be about the Georgia law and how that identification, well, one guy who was a Democrat said, funny, I have to go into the liquor store and I have to show my ID to buy liquor. Said, I have to show ID if I want a driver's license. Most people have driver's license. And so things like that have been talked about, and how that other corporations are now interfering with our political schemes in this country. And, so they understand some of the things that are going on. They understand that some of the lies that are being told, or the narrative that is trying to be sold to the American people.
Now, I just heard, I don't know if you heard this or not, I don't know if you heard this on the inside, but I'm going to give you some information if you didn't. They're saying across the media right now that 76,000 inmates in the state of California are going to be released. Is that true?
I heard something like that. I only heard a blurb on the radio, and I thought they said 6,700. But it's
76,000.
76,000. I did, and I heard it would be violent criminals and multiple offenders. In other words, people who serve more than one term, or people that have more than one term, such as like consecutive terms. So.
Okay. Now, I appreciate you taking the time out. Obviously, you have time on your hands. You're at recreational period right now.
Yes.
Can you describe some of the conditions, like the food they feed you in there? I mean, we hear all these stories that you guys eat so well and you're fed well, and, the taxpayers put out all this money to house the inmates in there, and it's so costly. Tell me, what's it like in there as far as, I'll leave it open to you to describe whatever particular area you want to go after first. And just tell me the truth, and I know you will.
Well, let's talk about footwear. I've been trying to get a pair of sneakers for a month, and I'm reliant upon the staff, and I've ordered these sneakers for over a month. I have holes in my sneakers. My soles are about to come off, and then there's about 40 people on my unit, and we all share a bathroom, and I clean the bathrooms at nighttime. So I have to walk through the urine in order to clean the bathroom. And, well, I'm still waiting for these sneakers to come.
Now, wait a second. Now, the administration, obviously, how do you obtain sneakers? Only through the administration? I mean, how else can other people? I mean, is there any way they could be donated to you or given to you?
Well, I mean, we can order them through packages, but since we're in a state hospital, we have a very strict criteria that we must abide by, such as we can't have shoelaces, obviously, for some safety concerns for some people that are suffering from self-harm conditions and things like that.
Gotcha.
So, but, I mean, you know, the food's, nah, it's not that bad. It's really, really unhealthy, though. It's a lot of processed foods with tons of salt and vegetables that come out of a can, which really have no nutritional value. And most of the men here are overweight because we have very little exercise. Anytime they can take something away from us, they will. We spend very little time going outside. We spend most of our time inside. And so guys are 50, 60, 70 pounds overweight. Including myself.
Throughout the course of the day.
Now, here's the thing.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I've been here for about 6 months, 7 months, and I've gained 38 pounds, and I don't eat my full portions. And I don't go to canteen and stuff like that. So.
The food is not healthy, and you're hungry like an hour later, right?
Right. And now here's another concern. We have an overburdened health system, not only because of the global pandemic, but also because of just the way things are in our country, right? And I'm not talking about having social medicine or any of that, right? But what I am saying is that most of us will leave prison, and then we'll enter into the world, and then we become more of a burden on the health system because we're fed such an unhealthy diet, and we're not given opportunity to exercise. We're not given education about what is good meals and what aren't good meals. And even if we did get that education, we wouldn't even have that opportunity to take care of ourselves. So you talk about habits and you talk about things that, you know, you need to change things about the way you live and live a healthier lifestyle. Well, they don't provide that opportunity to do those things. You know, they speak a lot of things
Wow, that's terrible. Ray, real quick, I want to connect Dr. Peter Ventura. I know he works with a lot of inmates across the country also, so I'm going to connect him on the line with us. I just saw his number. I apologize. I didn't see. I got a lot of calls on the board here. So I'm going to connect Dr. Peter Ventura only right now. Go ahead. Peter, go ahead. Welcome to the podcast. I got Ray on the phone here. We know without using his last name, please.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening, listeners. Good evening, Joe. Good evening, Ray. I'm sorry, I just tuned in. I was in a prison emergency with somebody else. How are you, Ray?
Well, I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay.
Well, Ray's going over the food, the health concerns there at the prison, and of course the Fox News thing where they're banning what they see or what they hear, basically. So the television sets, whatnot, are not allowed to. The inmates are not allowed to watch Fox News. I mean, so how do they do that? How do they ban that? I mean, do they take the station out? What do they do?
Well, I know that not, back in the 19...
Hang on, Peter, I'm asking Ray. Peter, I'm asking Ray. Hang on.
So we have a community TV in our day room, and then we have another one that's called the sports room, which is just for sports, obviously, because there's conflicts, and then there's conflicts between inmates. So those TVs are not allowed to go to the Fox News network, and if they are, then it's to be changed. And here's the interesting thing, is that when we were informed of this, they told us that CNN has a much more appropriate news program to watch. Now, I don't know, but, you know, I'm a white gentleman, and I don't think that sitting there and given being told that I should self-deprecate and self-degrade and self-denounce and that I'm a racist and white supremacist when this is not even the fact. This is not even true of me, and it never has been. And anybody who knows me can attest to that. And somehow that's more productive. And here's the thing, is I'm being taught about self-esteem. And yet the more appropriate choice would be those that would destroy my self-esteem. Just doesn't make sense, and it costs a lot of money. It costs a lot more money to be in this institution than it does in a prison institution. And almost triple the cost of prison to be here. And so it just doesn't make sense. It's contradictory.
It is. Peter, go ahead. You had something you wanted to add, Peter? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, this is an archaic throwback to hear that they're censoring the news, because back in the 1970s, they used to take in the prisons, they would put newspapers out in the county jails and the prisons, but they would cut all articles with violence out of anything they censored, anything they thought was politically incorrect, or that would, it portrayed some sort of violence. So if there was a burglary or a robbery, they cut that out. So you ended up with a paper that looked like somebody was making paper dolls.
Swiss cheese.
This type of censorship, it's just incorrect. Nobody should decide for us what we can listen to, what we can't. It's not like they're portraying.
Wow.
It's common news.
That's,
that's
yeah.
everybody.
That's right. And
you know
thing.
Something? No, hang on, Ray, real quick. I just for new people that are tuning in right now, we're live from a California state prison where we're discussing how inmates are treated, the conditions inside the prison system, and also how they're not allowed to watch Fox News. It's amazing. I just cannot believe this, that they're being indoctrinated this way. But go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually lost my train of thought.
That's okay. Take your time. I know you're I can hear the background noise, actually. So he cannot control his background noise.
No. Guys, can you hold on a second? Yeah. It's not Fox News. It's just conservative media outlook. Anyway, however, I have a radio, and they can't stop me from listening to AM radio, you know. And so I'm still exposed to some of the things that are still going on, and I'm still getting some honest journalism. Which is good. The rest of the stuff, I don't know. That just doesn't make sense to me, you know.
Well, Rick, real quick, what are you serving? Well, how much time are you serving right now?
I'm serving an 8-year sentence, at 85%, which means about 6.5 years. I earned some milestone good time credits, which put me out about 5.5 years. I have about 16 months left.
Wow. Well, so throughout the course of your day, tell me, the inmates there, we talk about rehabilitation. Everyone talks about this. It never gets done. Nothing gets solved.
Right.
Nothing changes. It's still the same revolving door. Just walk us through what a day is like there with you so the listeners can just maybe get a feel of what your day, every day is like.
So I get up about, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. I go out. Brush my teeth, that sort of thing, take care of my hygiene. Then we have dinner, we have breakfast about 7:30, 7:45. After that, we kind of don't do anything for about an hour. Then we have a couple of groups throughout the day. Sometimes they're cut short, sometimes they're canceled, more times than off, not. Hold on 1 second.
Okay, sure. We're live from the California State Prison System right now, so... Go ahead, Ray.
All right, I'm sorry. I just interrupted by a staff member. Then we go to these groups, and often they're not during the morning we get a half hour outside, which is usually canceled, and then usually suffer the hostilities of the hostilities of staff members who are either overworked or just their whims of a bad day. You know, if they're having a bad day, we're going to have a bad day. We have a unit supervisor who says that no matter what, she will always believe staff over an inmate, which puts us at a very, very dangerous, dangerous place, right? Because anything can be done.
Yeah.
I had my cell search recently, and I had some art paper, very expensive art paper, and it was taken, and there was no documentation of it. They're supposed to either have me there present or a member of the ward government present. And as the ward chairman... I wasn't there, and I wasn't living with anyone at the time. But they went in there, they did a cell search, they took my stuff, and I asked to speak to the DPS officers, and they refused. And they told me I will not make accusations against staff. What hospital policy says that somebody should be there, ward government should be there, and if anything's taken, they need to document it and give me
the
receipt.
And this is a big deal. This is a big deal to you, right?
It's huge.
Little things are huge, right? These little things
are huge to you.
They
are. But here's the thing. Is that the Constitution guarantees the due process of law for life, liberty, or property, and you took my property. There was a gentleman here, or a couple gentlemen, and some of them weren't even guilty of anything. They were just happened to be in the area, who lost privileges because a salt shaker was taken that the inmates paid for popcorn. And it wasn't accidentally taken. It was taken because staff members didn't have the time to put it away during shift charge, so they just held on to it. Somebody saw that, and then they made it to be something that it wasn't, that they stole it. They called the DPS officer. That salt shaker was probably worth about $2.
But that's
my paper
huge. That's
was,
huge. Yeah, but that's
my
huge inside
were,
of a cell block.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Right. And so, but it was, again, it was an accusation against the inmates. My paper was worth probably $40, $50. And there's no, I was not allowed to make a claim against that. And I don't have any proof. It's my word against their word. And who's a reasonable man going to believe?
Convicted felon. Ray, hang on. So I'm getting emails. You know, people asking me questions. So you wake up for breakfast. They want to know again what do you eat for breakfast? One person asked, or lunch or dinner. What's the best meal? I guess.
The best meal. I don't know. That's the best meal. I guess I'll tell you what. On March 17th, they did have a corned beef and cabbage meal. I mean, it was small, albeit, but it was good. Throughout the regular meal, mostly at breakfast, we mostly have eggs. Or we have pancakes or waffles. But that's just pretty much. And we get some cold cereal and some canned food.
Okay. All right. And you don't get a lot of it. Now, Peter, go ahead. You had something you wanted to say?
Yeah. Now, that's funny because in the Connecticut prison system for 26 years and to this day, probably 30 years, they serve a type of breakfast cake. It was like almost like a piece of cake and some ground oatmeal once in a while. You get an egg once a week or twice a week. But for the most part, every other day, you got that dry bread. Cake. For 26 years, they never changed the menu.
Yeah.
Wow. So you get the same thing.
Cool.
So, Ray, I think the point you're trying to make, Peter, is that it's the same thing every single day and every single week. It's the same menu. It's not. There's no variety there, basically.
No. Not at all.
And it's really greatly nutrition either.
No.
You know, turkey a la king. And institutions like California and others, they're not prepping right there in their institution. Most of them, it's prepared somewhere else, and it's put in 50-pound bags and brought in like turkey a la king, and they just pour it into a big vat, heat it up, and serve it. You know?
Yes.
And so some people have the idea that you go to prison and your meals are all, you know, these guys, we got it. The prison is a nice place, and everybody's relaxed. They don't deserve anything. But
right.
The truth of the matter is, you know, you're dealing with personalities, and staff has personalities that, you know, they have trouble with their wife last night, and you're going to have a problem because they're angry at their wife. And they're going to come in, and they're not professional in a lot of ways. But in his instance, they're censoring them, and they have no right to censor them. And make this clear,
they have no right to censor. That's the administration, though. We don't want to go after the staff.
Yeah,
the staff, because staff themselves.
But
hang on, Peter. The staff themselves, we don't want to go after the staff because the staff, they're under the same pressure. They're told to do a job.
No.
They're given little resources. Probably, what, two staff members per, what, 50 inmates?
Oh,
you know,
no,
in a block?
Oh, no, no,
yeah,
no.
But
we have two nurses, six psych techs, and some other there's a whole lot of staff, and
there's enough staff per inmate. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Let me interject.
Go ahead, Peter.
This one thing I know Ray's time coming. Let me interject. Ray's not at a normal.
Peter, you're breaking up real bad. You're breaking up real bad, Peter.
All right. Ray is not at a regular prison. He's in a specialized prison, where they're supposed to give him specialized treatment. This is different. This is different than being in a general...
Whoa, hang on. You're confusing the listeners now. What? Explain that, please, somebody. What do you mean special prison?
Ray,
special prisons?
That.
I mean, I don't understand.
Raymond?
So I'm in a state hospital, and I've been sent here by the CDCR, the prison, because of some suicidal ideations. And... So I'm supposed to be given a certain amount of treatment, and that treatment is also supposed to be just the way being treated as a person, right? And then they're supposed to restore me back to a stable state, and then return me to prison. But sometimes we just
it's mental health. It's a mental health.
Yes.
So it's mental health. So it's a mental health facility, basically. So they do address mental health issues, then, correct?
They do. They do. But like I said, again, we're being taught to improve our self-esteem, but then we have to watch CNN, which tells us that we should self-deprecate, and self-denounce, and that we're white supremacists, and we're white, and we're racist, and we're just born with privilege, and we just nothing that we can do about it. So it's contradictory.
Yeah, and how does the rest of the population view that? Is that creating tension amongst the races inside the prison?
Well, here not so much, because it's more integrated here. But inside the prisons, I'm not sure how it is, because I haven't been there since this identity politics has really full blown. But this is a very racially segregated prison system anyway. You know, you can't
wow.
eat after if you're white, you can't eat after a black or a Mexican. You can't sit at their tables. You can't play games with them. There's a lot of things that are just being taught that are not. And I'm sure this is reinforcing that type of thinking. And what we should be doing in the prisons is teaching people to integrate one with another, because that's more conducive to what our country stands for. But it's not.
Well, yeah,
we're
well,
being
that's
divided.
The thing. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely correct. And so they're teaching everyone to be segregated. They're teaching
yes.
you to be segregated and then put you out in society where you're integrated.
And then if you watch the news media that teaches you to be segregated too, and guess what? You're creating an issue. You're spending all of this money, millions and millions and millions of dollars of tax money, to do what? What solution is being? There isn't a solution. You see, the problem is just being perpetuated.
Yeah. How's violence in your facility? Is it pretty civil, or is it? Because a lot of people hear about prison violence, riots and whatnot, stabbings, murders, rapes.
Right. It's at a minimum. There is some, and there's different types of violence, of course. You know, like I was explaining to some of the guys that I know, and we were talking about some of the things that have been going on in this unit and stuff like that. And I said it's like being in an abusive relationship, right? So the husband takes the wife's credit cards and doesn't let them see their family and keeps them disconnected from their friends and just kind of isolates them and everything else. And if you say something, then there's going to be hell to pay. And it's kind of like the same thing.
Really?
So if I have if I have an issue with somebody and then I bring it up, well, to their supervisor, the supervisor tells them, and then they tell others, and then you just become this huge problem that everybody has identified, and then you're treated accordingly. And like I said, it's a position in which it's very rare that somebody ever gets fired for mistreating an inmate. And it's a culture. It's a culture that they have. And it's just, who's going to listen to us? I mean, we do have, I mean, there was federal oversight within the CDCR and within the mental hospitals. And that had to do with how the CDCR actually treated mental health patients. They weren't diagnosing mental illness. They weren't treating mental illness. And they weren't doing anything with people that had suicidal ideation. So there's a gentleman by the name of Coleman, and he's actually at CMC right now, and some lawyers that got together to call the Coleman lawyers, and they kind of have oversight. And so if we have an issue, we can write to them, and then they'll kind of look into it. However, they represent us as a body and not as an individual. So therefore, they can't handle individual claims. But they're in this hospital.
Yeah.
There's really no way to redress any grievance that we might have.
So what happens if the hospital units are full? What happens to the inmates that have mental health issues? Where do they go? They're just stuck in general population, or they go to isolation or segregation? How does that work?
Well, I guess they have, within the prison system, they have what's called an enhanced outpatient program, and that's they call it the EOP. And so those guys that are having a hard time with the mental health issues, they're kind of segregated into their own buildings, and typically there's a couple buildings on each yard, and then they have an EOP building, and then they have general population buildings and a lower level of mental health buildings, and inside there they have clinicians and recreational therapists and things like that, and they try to they do some try really hard to try to stabilize a person, try to help them with mental health treatment and with through distraction and other types of...
But once they're released, what's offered to you once you're released then? I mean, you get all this treatment while you're inside, then you're released. What happens?
Well, they do have a system in which you go, there's programming outside, and they do help, I guess they help mentally ill patients. They help with housing and things like that. I mean, there is a system. I don't know to the extent, but there is a system in place.
But it's heavily burdened. It's heavily burdened and overcrowded, correct?
Heavily burdened. And in California, it's pretty they have what's called these like sober living homes or independent living homes. And really what it is a person who gets a not-for-profit certificate and then opens up this thing. And now they're because they have a not-for-profit organization, they're able to take in court people from prison, from court, you know, referrals, and they house them. And they house them in, like, 4 or 5 people in a room and just kind of, like you know, pack them in like sardines. And they charge them about $420. They get their EBT cards and or their Social Security benefits, whatever the case may be. And there's a lot of independent living homes like that. And they're pretty much a racket. And so sometimes guys with a mental illness, you know, they'll end up in one of those places. And truthfully, you know, they're people with mental illness have learned not to stand up for themselves. So abuse to them is just it's what's normal, and it's really a sad thing.
Yeah. Ray, you know? While I got you on the phone, you're inside. What would your solution be to? I mean, I know you can't cure the entire problem, but
right.
What solutions would you recommend be done to cure this recidivism rate inside the prison system, the prison industrial complex, and what, you know, to stop people from going to prison, the revolving door, I guess you could say. What do you think should be the solutions?
Well, I think there's a severing of the community, right? So this is a very adversarial process, right? So you get arrested, then you go to court. The victim has very little to do with any of the court proceedings, and sometimes the prosecutor doesn't even listen to the victim's recommendations, right? A person that might think they should get a greater sentence than the prosecutor may make a deal for, or they think they should get less of a sentence than what the prosecutor thinks. And so, and then the victim and the perpetrator, well, they never really, there's no reconciliation, right? No restoration. And I'm not saying that victims and perpetrators should be reconciled. However, there should be some other things. So then what happens is a person is taken and brought into prison. And the first thing that happens is you lose your friends. And then eventually, over time, you lose your family. You start losing contact. And then you have no community contact. You have no family contact. You have no friends. And so then you're let out. And then there's not a system to capture you. So you don't know what to do. So you've been in prison for 10 years. Technology has changed. The way things are done has changed. Everything's different. And you're under all these pressures. And you have to have, you got a probation officer who wants you to get a job in 30 days. Well, people have Google now, and guess what? People are very prejudicial against convicts. Obviously, there's an integrity issue, so it's understandable. But what I would do is I would start to make a system in which it would reconcile the inmate with the community through education, through vocational training, but not only that, have a work release program in which these men can actually start to earn their degrees or earn a vocation, and then get set step by step, a little bit at a time, to be able to go out and actually have a place to live and have a job and have to be able to be taught. So most men don't even know how to balance a checkbook because they never balance a checkbook. They've never paid bills. They never had a rent. They don't even know how to tie a tie. They don't know how to dress properly. They don't know how to interview properly. And these are skills that we need in today for any time.
And instead,
so,
yeah. Yeah, instead you're sitting in there watching CNN, you know, doing nothing all day.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think that, Ray, what you said is accurate. We're warehousing. And,
right.
But I think that your listening audience ought to know this also. The other reason why there's less violence where you are is because those guys would rather be there and be treated than taking the, you know, rather be there than be sent to the general population prison.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that's why you find less violence there. I mean, you know, I was in Lewisburg Penitentiary. They were taking a body a week out of there. So, and I mean a dead body a week. So,
yeah,
you know, general population in some of these places are very violent. But being in a place like where Ray is, they know that it's a better place and there's less violence, so they're going to be less violent. Even though they're violent, they're going
to
be less violent.
Well, wait a second here. They don't get an option to go there. You're telling me they get a choice to go there? I mean, they say they fake an illness to get there? I mean, what are you saying, Peter? We were just saying that they have mental health issues. That's why they're there.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
they should be there if they have mental health issues,
yes,
you know?
Yes, but what I'm saying is once they get there, they realize that, you know, it's a better proposition than being in general population.
Right.
And so it's better.
Oh, okay, I got you.
And here's the thing. We have a lot of lower functioning guys, right? And they don't really understand, right? And so what happens is once they're stabilized here, they're sent back to that same chaotic lifestyle where they're abused sexually, violent, physically, verbally. You know, they're taken advantage of, their canteen is stolen, their packages are stolen if their family sends them canteen money and packages, and they're extorted, and they're beaten on, they're abused, and they're raped, and all these things.
Well, where's
things happen.
Staff? Where's the staff when this is going on? I mean,
now we're in prison, and there's, like, in my building, there's, I think, 250 people, and there's two COs, and there's four pods, and they very rarely did a tour. They tore it in the morning, they tore it in the afternoon, and then they tore it at night. And that's
so
it.
So you're locked in. You're locked in with 249
hey,
other
guys,
men.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to get off the phone. So.
Okay,
time,
I understand. Ray, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
Thank you.
One quick question. Will you get in trouble if the staff is aware of you being on this call?
Oh, probably. There definitely would be retaliation. Absolutely.
Okay, well, then we want to keep that quiet. Okay, all right,
yeah.
Ray. Well, thank you so much, and we'll be in touch with you. And thank you for your time. That's all you have, I guess. But
yes.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome. All right, thank you. Okay. All right, bye.
All right, well, Dr. Peter Ventura there is with me now. Anybody wants to call in there? That was I'll just call him Ray. He's in a California state prison. He's in a prison hospital. Obviously he said mental health issues that he had. There was accusations that maybe he may be suicidal or whatnot. I tell you what, I'd be too if I was stuck in there with 249 men and, you know, there's nothing to do all day long. I mean, what do you do? I mean, it's just idle time. You do nothing. You're staring at walls. How would you like to be locked in your bathroom all day long and do nothing? You know, this is probably the highlight of the – I bet if he told the other inmates that he was on the phone with a podcast show, they probably would have trampled him. You know, what do you think, Peter?
Well, it's, you know, it's mind-blowing, but, you know, they won't allow him to have anything that's creative. He's a great artist. And I know him personally. He's a great artist, and he does some wonderful, great artwork. And that takes your mind, you know, it gets your mind out of there for a while. I mean, listen, punishment's punishment, and that's what prison's for. I mean, we go to prison because you break the law, and you're punished, and that's your punishment is to serve your time. But it doesn't require the guards to, you know. In another conversation with him, he would tell you this. And he wasn't at liberty probably or didn't want to take a chance. But remember, we've been locked down in a pandemic. There's no visiting. The place is replete with drugs. How did the drugs get in there? Okay? So think about that. If there's no inmate contact with people from the outside, then who's bringing it in? And the place is full of it. Okay.
Well, there you
and
go.
So,
there you go. Yeah, I didn't want to bring that topic up because we know the calls are monitored there, so hopefully he doesn't receive any retaliation. We'll monitor this situation, and I'll call the administration live on the phone because he did not say anything whatsoever that would violate the security of that institution. You know, so
no,
I'm glad he did not bring that up. You know,
that particular calls, these calls are not his particular calls. Allegedly, are not monitored. So that's one of the advantages.
Okay.
That's why.
Well, why is that? Now you're going to get a lot of people say, "Wait a second, here he's an inmate. Why aren't those calls monitored? How does that work?"
Well, because this is a different level of care. It's a hospital. It's not max security prison, although it's maximum security hospital. But, I mean, it isn't everybody in there doesn't, you know, is walking around drooling on themselves. I mean, these are just men that, you know, some men break down. Even the toughest men get in those in a regular population prisons. He said, you know, they're segregated by race, and you have in certain prisons in California, you have rec yards, and white guys go in one rec yard, and Spanish guys in another, and black guys are in another rec yard, and then, you know, there's a problem if you intermingle or you try and, you know, most of we're not racist, and so you go in a prison, you want to respect everybody. you know, I mean, they're your peers. Unfortunately, you, that's who you chose, but...
Well, wait a second here. Are they segregated or not? So you're telling me if I'm a white guy and I walk into the, right, I automatically get put with the white population, or am I in with everybody and I have to go over to the white population?
No, you're in the white population. And the same thing in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. You don't have to take an inmate of another race. You can ask not to, and they'll honor that.
Well, you're confusing the listeners, Peter. You're confusing the listeners. When you're put into the prison, am I automatically put in with the white people? I don't have to, you know, if I walk into the prison, they look at me, you're white, Joe Gibson, so you're going with all the white people over here. Or am I going over with the Mexicans, or am I going over with the blacks? So, which is
it? You're going to go with your race, because if you don't, it'll cause tension. See, now, every prison is not like that in the country.
No, you didn't know, Peter, hang on. No, that's not the point I was trying to make. See, people are emailing me. So I have a choice then. I don't have to go with the whites, right?
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't survive for an hour.
Okay, all right, but I just wanted to put that out there. So you have a choice. You don't have to, but you should because of the you'll get attacked, you'll get beaten, you'll get it, you know what I mean? Okay,
so now you
clarify that.
My understanding of California, when you go in, they see your race as white. They automatically house you with white people.
Okay, that was my point. Okay.
Yeah. And so that, you know, but he said, if you went into the chow hall and there was a bunch of gentlemen sitting there from, you know, Mexicans or Chicanos sitting there, and you went and sat with them as a white guy, you'd be retaliated against.
But I wouldn't be able to because I'm segregated from them. That's what I'm trying to get at. Is there an opportunity to mix?
Yes, there's an opportunity.
Okay, all right then. Oh, okay. All right, so there's an opportunity. Okay, that's my whole point. So why don't they just do that then, segregate it? If there's such a problem with the whites attacking the blacks or the blacks attacking the whites, why not just do that then? Or, you know what? How could that be cured, that problem? How could that be cured where once you walk in those doors, you're not, I'm a white power guy, and I'm a black power guy, and I'm a Hispanic power guy? And why does that happen?
Well, that's, you know, you have a lot of gang members. Listen, there are criminal enterprises being run out of these prisons, especially out towards California in the harder prisons. There are criminal enterprises being run out of there that are bigger than some of the enterprises on the street. And they're,
right,
you know,
okay.
They're
criminals
that run these things. In fact, in the last prison that fellow was in was called Donovan. And in Donovan Prison, when a guy walks through the front door, you have 72 hours to produce your paper on the yard. And if you don't produce your paper, then you get hit. Then somebody will stab you or take you off out. They'll kill you. You have to produce your paper.
Okay.
And the reason why paperwork is because there's a chain of command in prison. You know, cop killers on top of the list, and then murderers.
But that shouldn't be that way, though. You just said it. They're in there serving their time. Why do inmates have so much control? Why are they attacking each other? Why is this environment created like this? Is it done purposely? Why is this?
Well, it's because it's the chewing pattern that the inmates create. It's a it's a chain. It's a food chain, if you would. You know. It's a food chain.
But I know, Peter. I got what you're saying. You're talking like a convict. But what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to say it like this. From somebody on the outside, they're not getting it. Why do they have so much power and control, inmates? They're in there to do time. Why are they able to have a criminal enterprise? Why are they able to do this? They're supposed to be doing time in there and corrections. It's supposed to be a correctional facility.
The reason is why... Because it's a society within a society. There are men who are in there for life, and this is the only life they have, is that prison life. And so, you know, just like on the outside, you have organized crime in there. It's a society.
But in there, though, you should be able to control it. I mean, you have a building here with 1,500 men with cell blocks and cells, you know?
You have some guards, my friend, that are worse than the inmates. They're the ones that should be incarcerated. I've seen guards go into men's cell because they didn't like the
crime. And I got another caller here, 320. I see you. I'll bring you on in a second. Go ahead, Peter.
They've gone into the cell, especially in Connecticut, in McDougal Walker, which is a reception center. I saw a guard go in a guy's cell and come out and say, look, He didn't like the guy. He didn't like his crime. And so what he did was he walked in and came out with a razor blade in his hand. He said, look what I found in your cell. And the guy said, wait a minute.
All right, so he planted a razor blade. Okay. All right. So there's corruption. Okay.
Yeah. You know, and in Northern, you know, in Northern, the guards were betting on inmates. They were putting inmates in different gang members in a cage together in the rec yard where they're segregated just to see who'd win the fight. And they were betting on them. You know, just
yeah,
like Texas.
Yeah, we've heard. Oh, yeah, I've got all those stories. All right, Peter, let me connect 320. They've been waiting here a little bit, and then I got another caller, and see what they got to bring. If hopefully it's somebody with some substance. I'm not screening calls. If not, you'll be muted right away. So go ahead, 320.
Hello, Joseph.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I recognize the voice. How you doing?
Yes, I'm good. Peter is right. It is a rigged system, but it's also to ensure separation completely. They want to make sure you're separated because when you get out, I mean, it's definitely a rigged system all the way through government. So when you get out, you got to make sure to guarantee that separation.
But why are they not letting them watch Fox? I mean, they told us, but I want to pose this question to you. Did you hear they're not allowing them to watch Fox News? It's banned now in the entire penal system in the state of California. It's insane.
Oh, yeah. That has a lot to do with politics. That has everything to do with politics.
Yeah.
Who's funding
yeah.
these news stations? Who's funding these prisons? You got to look and follow the money flowing back.
Yeah, yeah. What's the answer, though? I asked Ray. He gave a good explanation of how solutions are. Peter just gave me a synopsis of what prisons are like, and I don't think there's any solution to that problem. And I mean, if people are just born and bred to be criminals when they walk in there and just start killing each other, I mean, what do you do with men and women like that? You know, I mean, what's your experience? I mean, what do you think?
Peter had a very good point, you know, or maybe it was the other guy I was listening earlier. Okay, so... Yeah, sometimes it is bread. That's where you go. Some people are in there for so long and they get left out, and the only life that they know is prison life. They'll do anything to get back in because they do not no longer, I shouldn't say
yeah.
exist, but they no longer feel any normalcy in life because everything is changing around you.
Yeah, time stands still, basically. Yeah. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah. Now, look, so I served 26 years. Okay, and out of the 26 years, I stayed educated. I mean, I had, you know, opportunities, and I had a family that had some money that could help me. And I went to, you know, I studied law through Ohio University, and I was able to study law. And then, you know, God called me into the ministry, and I earned a master's degree in there. And when I left prison, then I earned two doctorates on the outside here, and I've gone back in now, and I have a prison ministry, and I have a Bible Institute, and I'm trying, you know, I help the guys get an associate's degree in theology, and I'm here. They know there's some stability and some direction, and trying to give them some moral. You can't legislate morals, so this is something that has to come from a person's heart. And so there, you know, and there's a lot of success stories, a lot of men that have come out of there now, and they have families.
Yeah,
and,
but we can't tell that, though, by the way society's talking about it. I mean, the way we see it out here is that it's the revolving door, you know?
Yeah, well, you didn't let me finish. Let me finish. It's a revolving door. There's a revolving door because the treatment happens. Not only are you being treated bad by, you know, there are guards. Let me give you a couple scenarios, and you can think about this, all right? In one prison.
Yeah, talk louder, too, because you're very faded, your voice. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things all prisoners look forward to is the mail. Everybody wants a letter from home or a lawyer or something. And there are guards who will take those letters and put them on their desk. The mail will come in at 10 o'clock in the morning. And they'll leave them on the desk until the next shift at 3:30. The next shift will come in, and those letters will sit there. Those inmates sit, and they look out their cell doors all day at those letters. They can't get to them. And it's just tormenting them. And there are guards that do that. The same thing with the laundry. They'll do the guy's laundry. It'll be returned at 10 in the morning. They'll hang the laundry bag on a fellow's door, and they won't open the door so the guy can get it, and it'll sit there the whole day. It's just to be mean. There are just guards that are mean. Now, here's what has to be done. We're in an age now where there needs to be an oversight in these prisons. And the oversight is we have cameras now. We didn't have cameras before. Now they have cameras in every corridor, every hallway, and every cell block. And those and yep. they need to be monitored. How many times have I seen guards come in who were tired? They were working a second shift. The inmates are due to get their evening recreation, and instead he shuts all the lights out, puts his feet up on the desk, and goes to sleep while all the inmates are locked up. And nobody's getting wrecked because this guy is tired. And there's
yeah, yeah, but don't the inmates come out and attack the guard, though? I mean, the way the prison guards tell the story, that it's so violent that they need backup. And, I mean, you think all the inmates say, hey, let's get this son of a bitch, you know? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean,
well,
that's what it sounds like.
Like you said, Joe,
in Chester, Connecticut.
It's a story.
In Chester, Connecticut, in the 19...
Hang on, Peter, Peter, hang
19...
on. She was trying to make... Hang on, Peter. She was trying to say something what I was talking about, Peter. Hang on. Go ahead, ma'am. 320, I didn't hear what you said. Go ahead.
Well, like you said... How the guards tell their story, like I said, it's a story. It's a story.
Yeah, yeah, it's just stories. Okay, yeah, lies to the media to make it seem like it's, you know, they're
well,
poor prison
look,
guards, you know, the poor
well,
guys.
No,
you know.
I'm not
Go
saying
ahead,
it's
Peter.
Not happening. I'm not saying it's not
yeah.
happening.
In 19,
but a lot of it is story.
In the 1990s in Chester, Connecticut prison, the inmates were being beat up and tormented so badly by the guards that finally the inmates said, you know what, enough's enough. And they started beating guards up. And it got so bad that they were running out of guards to replace guards. And their wives protested, the guards' wives protested in front of the prison on the street on Route 10 and complained that they wanted their husbands to carry clubs in the prison. And these were guards who were just taking advantage of people and because they could. And so we need oversight. If you're gonna run a prison system, there has to be somebody who can look in at any time and say, hey, what, you know, that guy, what's he doing? You know, why are these inmates doing
yeah.
this? You know, what's there has to be some oversight. There's no oversight, and that's the problem.
So you're saying put together an oversight committee, and how would that go? Because you'd have, you know, you've got to make sure you get the right people in there. You don't want gang members getting in there helping out their buddies, you know, so how would you do
no.
it?
No, the oversight committee would consist of professional people. It would have to be somebody from the state legislature who's involved in the.
Well, those are criminals themselves.
Well,
you know, we need someone from the general public. You know, maybe victims,
yeah,
maybe inmates' wives or husbands. You know, something like
yeah,
that. You know what I mean?
No, because they have a swing on it. Listen, there are men in Connecticut who are in the judicial system, such as Ray Lawler. And Ray Lawler's fought for inmates, and he's fought for justice for people. And there's a just guy. You know, Christopher Shays went to prison sticking up for inmates because he wouldn't take off his hat at a bar grievance hearing because he said it was unconstitutional back in the...
Yeah. Okay,
so
yeah. I don't want to get an individual case. Yeah. But, yeah, okay.
Right.
So we get
so
good people. Okay.
There should be a lawyer. There should be a doctor. There should be a psychologist. There should be a regular citizen, and there should be somebody from the judicial committee, and a judge, and they should be allowed to look in at any time, and even a judge like
okay.
Alan Nevis, federal courts, and they should be able to say, "Hey, listen, this is the oversight committee. We're not here just to monitor inmates. We're here to monitor guards too."
So they have the keys to the front door, basically. They can come anytime and show up. They can't be locked out, kind of like the UN inspectors in Iraq, and you know what I mean? Something like that, that scenario where
well,
they come, it's a political game, you know?
Right. That's why you have cameras. They don't even have to walk into prison. They have access to the whole prison at any
gotcha.
Time by camera. See?
Gotcha.
And that's enough. That's a deterrent. That's a deterrent for bad. Now, remember this. 85% of these guys are getting they're getting contraband, and a lot of these cops are gang members, too. And they're bringing in telephones, and they're bringing in drugs, and you know, it's an enterprise, and they're making a kickback on it, too. Now, there people are getting paid on the street, then they pay the guard, and the guard
brings stuff in. Well, why does it have to be that way? Why can't they have telephones anyway? What's the big deal of having a cell phone? You know what I mean? I mean, everybody has one. I mean, we take away all their cell phones, all their computers, all their TVs, all their newspapers, and now they go in there, and they don't know what the hell's going on when they get out. You know, that doesn't make any sense. You know?
Well, this is, you know, it's a racket. For a guy to buy a flat screen 12-inch television, 15-inch television, it's going to cost him almost $300.
Yeah. But my point of it is, though, is that why, though? Why is it a racket? Why not just give it to the inmates? You know, why not let them work for it? Why not let them have a job? You know, there's jobs to be done. You know, let's clean. Let's build. Let's teach. You know? You wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you go to work, and you don't come back until 9 o'clock at night like the rest of the public, and you're dead tired, and you don't have time to gangbang in the cell block. You know what I mean?
This is one
I mean, that's what I'm trying to say.
This is one thing I can say about the Federal Bureau of Prisons. The Federal Bureau of Prisons has the Unicor, and Unicor is a factory, and guys, you know, they're making $360 a month there, in there, working
it's
in the
factory. It's not about making money, Peter. It's about doing something and achieving knowledge so that when they get out, they have a trade. They have a skill.
You're not letting me finish, okay? Many of these guys pick up trades and skills in the Unicor factories, all right?
What's Unicor do, if you don't mind me asking? What's Unicor do?
Well, Unicor does many things. Each facility has a different. Some are cabinet makers. Some do sewing. Some, you know, seamstress stuff. So there's always some are working on wiring
and
harnesses.
And that's going to get them ready for society, sewing and building cabinets? You know, I mean, how about teaching something like a real, you know, learning computers, learning how to, build equipment, engines, you know what I mean? So, jobs that are in need in the public, you know what I mean? Creativity.
There is.
I get what you're coming from, Peter. I know. I understand what you're saying. When you say sewing and cabinet making, people laugh at that, you know?
Yeah, but you didn't let me finish, okay?
All right, go ahead.
There are trades and there are journeyman programs for plumbers.
That was my question.
For electricians, for ASE mechanics. There are all those things. My point that I was trying to make is the difference between the Bureau of Prisons and state prisons. State prisons don't have the funding that the Bureau of Prisons has. But the Bureau of Prisons makes sure everybody works, and everybody's working from 7 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody's got a job. Okay, so there's
really
no
so why so really so so explain now, the difference then. What are you talking? So why are these gangs able to operate? Are you saying there's the state and the federal prisons are like night and day? They're totally different.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're going to find this out in the average state prison. Average fella has an eighth grade education. That's the mentality that you're dealing with. Okay, in a state prison. When you get to the federal prison, you're dealing with white-collar crime. You're dealing with, senators that have been incarcerated. You're dealing with people on a whole different level. I mean, yeah, there's low-level criminals, too. But for the most part, it's not the same type of system. And the bad guys...
The rich guys go to the federal prison, and the poor people in the city, they go to the state prison, right?
No, not necessarily. what I'm saying, it's guys who... You're going to find guys... It's a different character. It's a different education. They're pulling off larger crimes. They're pulling off more intelligent.
Well, you just said yourself. Well, Peter, hang on. You just said yourself, senators and whatnot, like Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff would not go to a prison like Ray was at. Bernie Madoff goes to the prison where he gets to play golf. You know.
Well, it depends. You know, it depends on the level of crime. You know, I was in Terre Haute, Indiana, Lewisburg Penitentiary. Those are not places for little boys. I mean, you die in those places. You don't even look at anybody's hands or feet
but
when you walk down.
Yeah, either. That's my point. So it's class. We got racism in classes. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to get at here.
In El Reno, Oklahoma, and it's a maximum security prison. In El Reno, Oklahoma, there was a federal judge who had been convicted of white-collar crime. He was running the law library. You know, so it just because, they're white-collar crimes doesn't necessarily mean they're going to a lower-level prison. And so...
I just meant the type of people that went. You know, I'm saying the poor people aren't going to go to the best prisons. That's what I'm saying. You even got racism in the prison system then, as far as where you go, you're classifying people. You know, the poor black guy in the inner city, he's not going to go to the golf course in the federal penitentiary because he was slinging crack on the street, you know? That's what I'm trying to get at, How is this happening?
If he's convicted of a federal crime, then he will. He'll go to a federal prison. You know, a level 3 federal prison, has a salad bar you could live on. You don't even have to go to the chow. I mean, it's a level, different level of treatment. It's different.
They're rare,
state
though.
Prisons,
there's very few of those places.
State prisons, state prisons are not funded well, and they're not staffed well for the most part. But there are a lot of staff members in prisons and a lot of correctional officers who went into corrections with the idea that they could help somebody. And then when they got there, they found out that the peer pressure is so great that they can't really help anybody because their own kind won't accept them. And so you don't want to have your own peers mad at you, because if there's an emergency call and you call for help and nobody shows up, you're it. And so they have peer pressure, too.
All right. Yeah, I got that. So All right, so before we get ready to wrap up the podcast here, if anybody else wants to join in, 657-383-0616, if they got an idea or they want to talk about the prison system, or if they got an personal experience, or if they know somebody that's in prison that may need maybe to do what we just did here tonight, then give me a call, contact the podcast. The 320, what's, I mean, just give me some closing thoughts here. Take a couple minutes if you can, if you want to, if you're able to. What do you think about this madness? I mean, this sounds like a freaking, it's a zoo, these prisons. I mean, this sounds, it's all convoluted, twisted, this policy, this level, this. You look, you break the law, you go to jail, as simple as that. You know, you hurt, I mean, some people shouldn't go to jail for the laws that they break. But others, obviously, you hurt somebody, you should go to jail, you know. But when you're in there, you should be doing something. You know, you shouldn't be just sitting there thinking about your next scheme or crime. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
I guess I got to get going here, too. But I guess my final thought on all of this is believe nothing you hear and only 50% of what you see.
There you go. There you go. Okay. Yeah, wow. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you joining in. I haven't heard you for a while on the podcast. Thanks for your input. It's always nice to hear from you.
Absolutely.
And you're in Minnesota, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. How's that things out there real quick? I mean, how's the political climate out there real quick? Not to change subject, but how's the Omar state doing?
Same shit, different day. Shit show propaganda.
I hear you. All right, Dr. Peter Ventura, go ahead. Wrap us up, please. Give us some final thoughts, unless I get some other interest. I'm trying to block as many of the crank calls as possible. Go ahead, Dr. Peter Ventura.
I think that we need to, as a society, reevaluate how we deal with people and crimes. And one of the things we really need to get away with, we need to toss out sentencing guidelines, because sentencing guidelines puts everybody on the same level. And this, for the crime, you know, people have different reasons why they commit crimes, and people, there's a difference between a guy who's trying to survive and who's doing robs a grocery store of vegetables, and a guy who's trying to extort, goes in and gets money because he just wants some money, but we need to look at more at the individual. We can't just put a blanket sentencing guideline out there, and that's what they have. But what's happened is judges don't really sentence people anymore. Prosecutors do. They lay out the guidelines, and they count it by numbers. And whatever the numbers, they add up the numbers, and for each part of crime or each different thing, you get a number, and it's a level. And then they add it all up, and it comes to 62, and 62 says 50 years, you know. And so we've taken the individual touch, the personality, or the persona out of the criminal justice system. We need restorative justice. We need to help men come out and like you said, Joe, they need things to do inside that prepare them to come out.
And women, don't forget women. You said men, don't forget the women. The women are we need to address that next time, maybe.
I say men, I'm inclusive of all prisoners.
No, you know what I mean. I'm just trying to bring some light to the women population out there that's suffering behind, being kidnapped and thrown in these concrete boxes, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? And some of them suffer worse than the men. So, at the hands of guard. But,
Oh, my God. That is a story. That's something.
Oh, my
gosh.
I have one more thing.
Yes, go ahead.
So, in Minnesota is the Shakopee Prison for Minnesota. We are one of the maybe two or three prisons, the women prisons in the United States, that allow overnight visits with their first.
I'm losing you. Yeah, we're losing you.
Yeah, their phone broke up.
That was a part of, can you hear me now?
There you go. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, please.
That was
Thank
a part
you.
Of a reform that has been taking place after the last 10 years. And
really?
They're trying to integrate it into the men's prison.
Wow.
What was the reform?
It has not happened yet, but it does. It has happened in Minnesota. The Shakopee State Prison in Minnesota, the only women prison in Minnesota, allows overnight with children.
Wow, that's crazy. That's insane. Go ahead, Peter. You want to say something?
Yeah, no, I didn't hear what she was saying. I think Minnesota has a restorative justice system, don't they, though?
don't know.
No?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we need to have a class on how to talk into cell phones because I can't hear anybody.
I thought Minnesota had a restorative justice movement going. Sometime they did. They were leading in something in Minnesota that other states were trying to follow. I mean, Connecticut set the model on how to handle gangs, and the rest of the country followed that model. But again, we need to, you know, guys, you know, look, they kicked me out the door with no money and no clothes. I had a pair of sweats on. That's what they threw me out the door with. And
what
so
were you supposed to do? You know,
well,
what do you
right,
do?
What am I supposed to do? Well, I had two choices. You know, I could go down to the, hope I could get to have some friends or somebody, family who could help me until I could get on my feet. And if I don't, then I'm in the street. And I have nothing.
Yeah.
And so we need to have some kind of a system where the community, you know, gives the guy an opportunity to do what's right. But remember, there's always people that don't want to do what's right. And there's always people that will pretend they are doing what's right. And so, you know, it's hard to sort. It's hard to sort out who wants to do what for real. And so it has to begin within the wall and behind the walls. And then you see who's really serious and who's not. And that's where the focus has to be when they come out. You know, be able to get in some city, you know, being a felon, you check that box. You know, you can't get a job most places.
Yeah, now that's another thing, another subject to conquer there. You know, once you're released from prison, all this you have to put there that you're a convicted felon. You know, you lose this, you lose that. Listen, once you do your time, that's it. The crime is, you know, you did crime, you did your time. That's it, it's over. There's no, I mean, otherwise it's a life sentence. Like you just said, it's a life sentence. It's a jacket
imagine,
to carry on your back for the rest of your life. That's not right, you know.
Imagine
that's not right
a
at
child,
all.
You have a child. Imagine you have a child and you've disciplined him. Now are you going to tell him about what he did wrong the rest of his life?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what they're doing to the convicts.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do it to your own children, and yet you want to do it to a whole sector of society.
Well, we had it here in North Carolina, not to change the subject, a sheriff, a guy who was convicted of a felony. It was like an insurance fraud or something. He cashed a bad check or something, and he wanted to run for sheriff. And there was no statute on the books, no law that prohibited him from running for sheriff. And guess what? The entire public around here got up in arms. He's a convicted felon. He's a monster. He can't run for sheriff. Well, what would you rather have him do? Instead of protecting you, let's let him break into your house and steal from you. How about that one? How about that, you jackass? You know, that's it. But people, that they can't get it through the thick head. You know, they, like you just said, we're putting these jackets on these people. What do you expect them to do then? How do they feed their families? How do they feed themselves? How do they, you know, progress and move forward in life? Because it's a game,
well,
it's a racket, and you've got a lot of people that have these preconceived notions that they're better than somebody else because they didn't get caught. You know, and that's another problem.
But your
go
point,
ahead, Peter.
Your point is very valuable. In what you said, the punishment is the sentence. A guy's sentenced to 5 years in prison. He's done his time. That's it. Why does society wasn't that the punishment? So the guy did 5 years. Hey, listen, it's not such a great place. I don't hear anybody volunteer to go up and spend a weekend, you know, in these places so they could hang out and watch TV, you know, like they claim the cons do all day. When a fellow finishes a sentence, He oughtn't to be restored to society and to get back onto his life.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, exactly. You know, but how do we change that? You know, we could talk about it all day long. How do we change it? How do you change it?
Well,
you know, like I said, there was a sheriff running down here, and they stopped it. They created a new law that says now you can't run for sheriff if you're convicted of a felony. So they actually went backwards instead of moving forward, you know?
Right. But, you know, in Connecticut, there's one standard of justice. A lady by the name of Cindy Pergio began that one standard of justice, and she's been up before the legislature. She's brought many ex-cons up before the legislature, and it's a chip away. They're chipping away. Now they've changed some of the parole laws so that guys coming out. They don't have to serve their full parole, probation or parole, if they prove themselves in society for so many years. If you have 10 years and you do four years clean, then they give you a break. And before you had to do it all. So, I mean, she's chipping away. But it has to start within the community to the legislatures. And you know what?
Yes.
It's always somebody else's son. It's always somebody else's daughter until it's yours. And now your kid's sitting behind
or
your cars, and you're saying, wow, well, this shouldn't be that way. Well, you know what? You didn't care when everybody else was suffering that consequence.
Yeah, well, I got a lot of people with big mouths.
Don't
think
you can't
have your
child. It can happen.
Yeah. You know, they want to be judgmental. You know, you're a convict. You're a convict. You're a convict. Yeah, okay, whatever. Technically, you're a convict, too. How about this one? You're a slave, just like the rest of us. So wake up. Anyway, all right. Anybody else real quick? 320, you anything else you want to add real quick? I'm going to get ready to wrap up the podcast. I don't see any other callers that really have anything to contribute. I see a couple of idiots in the chat room, but that's about it. A lot of emails I got. I cannot answer all your emails. I'm sorry, people. It's just I can only do so much here. I got 32 emails when Ray was talking. I tried to do the best I could. 320, thank you for calling in. Anything else you want to add real quick? Bring us attention or ideas, show ideas or whatever. I know you're very busy, but anything else you want to say? Oh, I think I lost her. Maybe I might have lost her. All right. Well, I think she was. Well, that's Minnesota. Yep. All right. Well, Peter, anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
Well, I want to say that I thank you for giving us the opportunity to have that platform and giving Ray that opportunity. And I think if any listeners really want to be a help, that, you know, they should make a phone call to the California Department of Corrections and ask them why is it that people are being censored from Fox and other stations. That Fox is the only one I really know of. I shouldn't say other stations, but you know, they that pressure ad helps, believe it or not. And so,
yeah,
you know, one
everybody
one
out there, you hear that? Call California Correctional Department. Call the prison, any prison. Call whoever you can out there, California, associated with the prison system, and find out why Fox News is being banned. Where's all the conservatives? Where's the 80 million Trump supporters? Why aren't they all up in arms? What's going on? Where are
you,
Republicans?
I don't even think Fox News knows they're being
you
censored.
You
got to
put
there.
The prison wardens on blast. Make it go public.
There you go.
Right, and that's what I'm. Yeah, yeah, and I don't even think that Fox News knows they're censored, because I think they cover that story in California.
There you go. There you go. There's a good idea right there. Maybe next show I'll call Fox News, or I'll call the local stations out there in California live, huh? And maybe I'll ask them if they accept Federal Reserve notes too. All right, everybody. You know what? I want to say thanks to Ray. I know he's probably not listening. He probably can't listen. But anybody that's out there in California, if you are in prison listening, we were covering you, fighting for you tonight. So I know you can't do much when you're sitting out in there, you know, locked away. But we wish you the best, and hopefully you can get out and get back into society and fight for the Republic. Don't become a Democrat. All right, everybody. God bless the Republic. What's that? You interrupt me with my closing here. All right, everybody. Good night, everybody.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.